Joe? Fairford? Everybody coming in from the hall? Mary Lou, is anybody else out there? Mac? Joe Barefoot, he's got my outline. Where'd Joe go? Go find Joe. He's right there? Oh, thanks, Joe. Lord, we would just, we're thankful that we belong to you. We're thankful that we have a home. This earth's not our home. We thank you that we have a heavenly home with you. We thank you that we're part of your family, your body, and we just praise you this morning. We pray you'd grace us just to continue in a spirit of fellowship and worship this morning. In Jesus' name. Well, I've been thinking a while, as most of us had, what a trying whirlwind day we live in, you know? Who knew what pandemic meant? Anybody know what pandemic? Who ever thought of lawlessness in the streets? Who ever thought of just the moral decline? The moral decline in our country, for me, is just breathtaking. So, you know, we've been praying about restraining it, restraining the lawlessness, loosing the Spirit of God, and I think that's what we should be doing, we need to be doing. But as we are personally caught in these things, what should our personal response be? That's kind of what I wanted to talk about today. And in summary, the response should be stop. We should stop and remember. Take ourselves out of this whirlwind and remember who we are in Christ. Christ has saved us. He is our life. And we belong to his body. He has saved us. He is our life. And we belong to his body. So there's a thought I have today. And that is, Selah. So that's, Joe's got the outline to hand out. And that's the outline right there. And it's not, you know, sometimes there's, give every other one, Joe, so we don't run out. But anyway, sometimes, well, I like to keep things as simple as possible, so when we leave after hearing a message, we have one thing to hang on to. Maybe that's because of my temperament, but if I get something and take it home, so right now, if you want to go home, take your outline with you and keep it. Selah. The NASB defines Selah as pause, crescendo, or musical interlude. That's how it's used in, I always think of Psalm 46. They use it a number of times. That's a musical term, right? Makes sense that definition is in a psalm. Psalms are musical. But I want to use a definition today from the Amplified. And the Amplified says, pause and calmly think of that. Pause and calmly think of that. And I think this would be great benefit to all of us to pause and calmly think of it and remember who we are in Christ. Who we are. And there's five Selahs I want to think about today. There's infinite number, but just five that struck me. Number one, we were lost and without hope in this world. We were lost and without hope. Pause and calmly think of that. Number two, but God. In our lost condition, God intervened in our lives. Praise God. Pause and calmly think of that. Number three, We have been born again. We have been born again. Pause and calmly think of that. And we have been born again to a living hope. In this hopeless day, we need to stop and think about it. We've been born again to a living hope. And the last one, number 5, born again into the body of Christ. Born again into the body of Christ. We are part of Him. Praise the Lord. Pause and calmly think of that. So Selah number 1. We were lost and without hope. We were lost without hope. In Ephesians 2, 11 and 12, the word says, therefore, remember that formerly, you the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. We were separate from Christ and having no hope in the world. If we're caught thinking of that state, living in that state, we need to stop and get out of that state. Don't dwell there. We are no longer lost and without hope. We were separate from Christ, but we are no longer separate from Christ. And we are no longer without hope. Hope, I found a definition of hope, is the expectation of good. Hope is the expectation of good. So if we are not expecting good, what are we expecting? So if we're not expecting good, let's not dwell on bad. They'll kill us, absolutely kill us. We were lost and without hope in the world. You know, I think we need to realize that we're living in days that the enemy is taking very little off time, as Sparks said so well. We worry about the economy, lawlessness, fears about the virus. And as negative things flood in, we need to think of the positive. And let me read just 2 verses that always come to mind for me. Jeremiah 29:11, that we're all so familiar with. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, for a future and a hope. A future and a hope. God, praise God. Romans 5:15-13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So we are no longer people without hope. Praise the Lord. And this is just a little parenthesis I'll add. I think a lot of the fears we experience and a lot of the assault of the enemy has to do with fear of death. You know, if you get behind all these things, it's fear of death. And we've all been studying 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 15 is Paul's great, great treatise on that we've been delivered from death. And he says at the end, you need to go back and read this, but 1 Corinthians 15:19, Paul says, If we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. And Hebrews 2:14. Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and might free those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. We were separate from Christ and had no hope without God in the world. Now we are with Christ and have hope. Selah. Stop and think of it. But God, See, Selah number two. Take a Selah, Herb. Is that right? Take a Selah. Mm-hmm. Let's read, But God Intervened. Ephesians 2, 1 to 9. It's a long verse, but let's read it. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one can boast. But God intervened. I know you hear me. I pray this often, but I can never get away from it. But God. Think about this. This wonderful passage, how important it is to be in the Word and just to read these things. It brings them back to memory. You know, it doesn't have to be a new revelation. It needs to be continuing in what we've seen and what we live in. So, we were dead in our transgressions and sins. No more. We were. We were caught up in the course of this world. We've been delivered from this world. What a stronghold. Under the power of the prince of the power of the air and separate from Christ. Praise the Lord. Stop and think about it. Romans 5, 6 is a wonderful verse. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Saints, we've been delivered from the domain of darkness. We've been transferred into the kingdom of the Son of His love. If you're feeling caught up in your circumstances, in the grip of this present evil age, remember this verse. Stop. Take a Selah. Think about it. But God, our great deliverer and savior. Okay, number three. We have been born again. In that verse we just read in Ephesians 2, it says, you are dead in your sins and trespasses. And this can't be dead. Physical death, because we're still alive, breathing, walking. So we were spiritually dead. Dead as a doornail. And I think how important it is to know that we've been born again. We often talk about we've been saved, we've been delivered from that darkness, but we've been born again to a living hope. And let's read another familiar passage. Comes out of Gospel of John, the Lord's dialogue with Nicodemus. There's a lot of power in that. A lot of life in that. And we need not forget it. So, starting that verse 1 in chapter 3. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Very reasonable observation from Nicodemus. Did the Lord answer it? He didn't answer that question or that observation. He said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus, you must be born again. We're talking about spiritual things. Saints, we need to live in the spiritual, not in this earthly. And Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he is old? And so forth. And then this, in verse 6, the Lord says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit of the, is born, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again. Who all has been born again here? One raise your hand. How many people know they've been born again? Good. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life, starting now, starting today, not in the future. And I think the thing that this really encourages me with, that in these days, our natural man is not our limit. If we look at our natural ability to deal with where we are, we're not going to find it. Our natural man is not our limit. We're born again. And that we've been born again deep within. We had, our spirit was comatose. We had no spirit. And so, Spirit of God has come into us and revived our spirit, our human spirit, and he's also given his spirit to live within us. We have great hope. So, and we ought to be walking by newness of life in these evil days. If we're trying to find our hope and our capacity in our circumstances and our natural strength, it's not going to work. Our natural man is not our limit. Stop. Take a Selah. Think about it. We've been born again. And for the number four, I want to read a verse, read a passage that is really wonderful, that I often come back to. And when we talk about being in the Word, this is one that's a great place to be in the Word. And that's 1 Peter 1, 3 to 9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We are participants in the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though if you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. I printed that a little too small. I had a little time reading it. Anyway, first thing I noticed from this, I want to say about this passage. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I just want to say how important praise is. Praising God is so important to our faith, to living in victory, to rising above, and singing and making melody in our hearts. Bobby Greco once told me, it's nearly physically impossible to be depressed if you're singing praise to God. Your body won't let you do it. So it's not just singing a song, but it's singing praise to God. Singing and making melody in our hearts. And so I just thought that was good how this started out with blessed be the God and Father. The other thing this passage here says is we've been born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is a seal of our inheritance. He's been raised from the dead. We are no longer to live under, but we're live to above. We have a imperishable inheritance. And you know, in the first part of Acts there, they were short one of the 12. They only had 11. So the question in that passage, when they were trying to, did they draw straws to pick another one? They prayed over it and picked someone to replace Judas. And what was the need they needed somebody for? Who will be witnesses with us of the resurrection? That's important. We are witnesses. Our lives are witnesses of the resurrection. They should be. To overcome death, new life, eternity in our souls, praise God. And of course, if we are distressed by various trials, Peter says he knows we're distressed by various trials, but we're to persevere through them to gain the salvation of our souls. So when we're down, discouraged, and under this whirlwind, let's take a Selah and remember that we are blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection from Jesus Christ, of Jesus Christ from the dead. Praise the Lord. Selah. Think about it. And the last Selah I have, it might be a little longer than the others. Selah number 5. Born again, we are born again into the body of Christ. Born again. We've been, as we've been born again, we've been born again to a new nature. We become new creatures in Christ. And that birth has caused us to be members of his body. And this isn't a theoretical thing, not a teaching principle. It's a spiritual truth. You know, we're not members on a formal list of membership. We're not part of an organization, but we're part of an organism, Christ in us, and we share that life of Christ. And together, we expressed Christ in his physical absence. The body of Christ expresses Jesus, his witness and his testimony in space and time until he returns. It's not a club. It's not an organization that's good to see everybody. It's a spiritual reality, and we express Jesus Christ to one another and to this world until he returns. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23 says, and he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him his head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. When we get in trials and distress and come to the end of ourselves, it's for a purification so that we might be set free to be brothers and sisters and express the body of Christ together. Praise the Lord. And as let's just look at a few passages. This is not a body. It isn't something that was organized. It wasn't something that was thought up. It wasn't something that was laid out as a plan and somewhere in the scripture. It was birthed. The body of Christ was birthed. And we see the history of that birth and that expression in the book of Acts. Acts was written by Luke, who was traveled with Paul as a doctor. And he wrote the book of Luke. I'm glad they put his name on it. And he was writing to Theophilus. Let me just read this. Acts 1:1 says, the first account I composed, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach. And of course, we've heard this often over the years, but if he began to do and teach in the gospel, Luke must have been thinking that he was continuing to do and teach And the Lord Jesus is continuing to do and teach in his heavenly body, in his body, in the body of Christ. He's continuing to do and teach. So, you know, this witness of the resurrection is to be our inheritance in our lives individually and in our life together. We are to be witnesses that Jesus is alive and well, and we are to witness of Christ. It's not that we have a witness that's outward. We have testimony that's outward, but it's fundamentally to be inward, Christ in us, the hope of glory, and his life expressed in the assembly. So what happened when the church was born? I just want to read, let's read Acts 2, 1 to 4. Where is that? I found it. Acts 2. Acts 2:1-4. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. They were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. You know, oftentimes we can think of this as a great outpouring of the Spirit to be copied. We ought to be doing these things. We ought to be doing, have tarrying meetings, have the Spirit of God falling on his church and speaking in tongues. Well, that's not what happened here. That's all good, and maybe that's all true, but what this was the beginning of the church. This was the birth of the church, and we'll look at that a little more. So this outpouring of the Spirit isn't the end. It's not the goal, it's the beginning. It's the beginning of a new chapter. It's the beginning of Christ and his church. So we see that this shows that Christ had ascended on high and the Father had sent forth his Spirit to do that birth of the church. I think it's interesting when, and then I want to look a little bit at what Peter's message, what he had to say. But it said that Peter took his stand with the 11. So Peter took his stand with the 11. I think that just shows the connectiveness, the oneness of the body of Christ. They were together. They were standing with Peter and his word. And I think that's great. It shows the beginning of the outpouring of the Spirit of God on his church. The way Peter spoke is unbelievable. How many people ever get struck with that passage after Peter was so kind of a fool, you know? But he had a heart for the Lord, and the Lord took him and used him. So I just want to read a few of the verses out of Peter's message here. Chapter 2, verse 22. Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus of the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs which God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourselves know, this man, delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death. But God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in its power. Again, put an end to the agony of death. Verse 29, brethren, I may confidently say to you regarding the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. 32, this Jesus God raised up again, to which we are all witnesses. Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured forth this which you both see and hear. Jesus was raised from the dead and poured forth this powerful, powerful move to birth his church. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. He's been raised Lord and Christ and head of his church. 37. Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brethren, what shall we do?" Peter said to them, "Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." 41. So then those who had received his word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and prayer. The church was birthed and began a life together. In 46, day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. So Acts 2:42, which, you know, you hear from me a lot, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. This is not something to be copied. This is something that Luke testified of. This is the fruit of the church being birthed. So anyway, we see that there was a birth. We look at this whole passage. There was a birth of the church. And it goes on through much of the, particularly the first part, is Peter's ministry in Acts. But we see that it wasn't just, they didn't have time to organize anything. It was an organism. It was a living body of Christ. And we want to continue to be that living testimony, that living body of Christ. And we should, thank the Lord we are together in apostles' teaching and fellowship, breaking of bread and prayer. That's the normal fruit of being in the body of Christ. It's not a group of meetings you decide to have. It's Christ in us bearing. We want to be. You know, that's my testimony. That when I was born again, there was something born in me, birthed in me, that wanted to be with the saints and be encouraging one another, and testifying of the Lord and building up his body. And the times we've had these last months have been particularly challenging to me, that we've been separated, you know. Separated physically, wearing these stupid masks, but I look forward. I will not give in and say, this is it, you know. I look forward to the day we'll be set free from all these restrictions, and I believe, and I have to believe, it'll happen to us here on this earth in our lives. So even though we can't be together, and I understand people can't be together, we should long and look forward to that day we will be together, unhindered. And I just want to share a little testimony that I thought of. And Lee Miller, she has a little thing she's going to put up here I want to talk about. Anybody know what that is? That's the Huguenot Church out on 711, out into Powhatan. And I just want to talk about the Huguenots. Steve Morissette is a Huguenot. Who knows about the Huguenots? Huguenots were French Protestants that probably were... They were Calvinist. That's okay. But they were... They were Christians wanting to be Christians and meet together and express the same things. Take me a little license here, but I think to be out from under the Catholic oppression in France. And they were tremendously persecuted, murdered, run out of that country. So you think there'd be nothing left. But there's the hope. Our street out here is called Huguenot. And if you go out 7-Eleven, I think I've said this before, all along 7-Eleven, there were 20-acre tracts deeded to the Huguenots. And Steve's family had one of the first tracts because they were set free to worship God and support themselves on those tracts. And this little church, they could be together and worship the Lord and meet in that little building. So that little building, in some sense, gives me a little hope that we'll be back together. We'll be, the Lord, don't ever give up the idea that we should be together worshiping the Lord. And that's my story, Lee. So this thing, this body of Christ, is so important. We were born into that body. That body goes beyond our human bodies, by the way, and our human families. We love our human families, but we have an inheritance in Christ and in his people and in his church that goes beyond that. And this body was birthed at Pentecost. Peter spoke with great power there, and there was an immediate response to his speaking. Many were pierced to the heart, repented of their sins, and were baptized. And there was an immediate expression of that body among his people there, among God's people. So let's take a Selah and think about it. We are members of the body of Christ. We could go on for a long time and talk about that. So it's our being together. We express Christ on earth today, his body. We are a witness of his resurrection together. Take a Selah, stop, and think about it. Well, in conclusion, we live in days of great trial and terrible confusion, terrible lawlessness, terrible moral decline. But I think it's very good for us to not give in to it, to stop, take a Selah. We were lost and without hope in this world, but no longer. God intervened and rescued us and saved us. We have been born again. We don't have that natural strength for these days, but we do have his life. And we've been born to a living hope. We have eternity in our souls, and we have hope. And we've been born again into the body of Christ to be a witness of his resurrection, to be an expression of Christ on this earth today. Praise the Lord. Selah. Stop and think about it. Lord, I want to thank you this morning that in these days of whirlwind, these days of despair even, that you would grant us grace to stop and think about it. What a great salvation we live in, and we just pray you'd grant us grace to rise above our circumstances by your resurrection life and to be about your business in our lives today. Just give you praise in Jesus' name.